Great to have you along here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. And, you know, when we think about Wisconsin, a lot of people think about cows and cheese and brats, but it's also home to a small, small but fiercely dedicated surfing culture more than 2,000 miles from the Pacific Ocean. It's become a mecca to a different breed of surfer, one who prefers the perils of frostbite and icebergs to the unpredictability of shark attacks and turf wars and that sort of thing. And it's all discussed in Bill Pavletich, his book, who's a native Wisconsinite, by the way, in the book titled Some Like It Cold, A Sheboygan Surfing Safari. He's written a couple of other books, a book on the Milwaukee Braves, another on the Packers. He's an Emmy-nominated and Peabody Award-winning documentary filmmaker as well. So I'm really pleased to have him with us. He's living in Los Angeles now, and we'll be talking about his book, about surfing here in Wisconsin, and about the two main characters in his book, Lee and Larry Williams. And certainly inviting you to join in, too. Have you ever surfed in Wisconsin on Lake Michigan? Know anything about that Sheboygan Dairyland Surf Classic? We'd love to hear your own experiences, but questions as well at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or email us at talk@wpr.org. And again, we'd love to hear from you. Bill Pavletich with us by phone. Bill, hi. Thank you for taking time to be with us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Larry. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Really great to have you. I have to tell you, when I saw the book, I thought, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be interested in this or not. And then you hooked me. I started reading and really got caught up with the lives of Lee and Larry Williams and their friends and their families. It's a wonderful story. How did you, what made you want to write this?
Well, I grew up on the shores of Lake Michigan in Mequon, Wisconsin, and, you know, for the 22 years I was living at home and commuting to college and all of that, you know, I would be sitting at the kitchen table eating my cornflakes overlooking Lake Michigan, and it was beautiful, serene, all of the things that you equate with Lake Michigan, but never once did I say, hey, those are some nice waves, I want to hit them with a surfboard. And you know, while I was going to college back in the early 90s is when I first started hearing the rumblings of, it was almost like an urban legend where there are these guys that surf up in Sheboygan. And it always tickled my fancy because when I step into the waters of Lake Michigan, by the time I'm ankle deep, I'm already going into the early stages of hypothermia. So the concept that, you know, Lee and Larry Williams and that entire surfing culture up in Sheboygan are surfing essentially during the most hostile days of winter when, you know, you have wind chills of sub-zero and the water temperature is a hair above 32, 33 degrees, and you're dodging icebergs and, you know, swimming through ice floes or surfing through ice floes. It just fascinated me. And, you know, essentially for the past 20 years, it was one of those personal curiosities that always fascinated me. But it wasn't until I was hanging out with some friends here in Los Angeles. And, you know, and it happened on more than one occasion where someone would say, hey, Bill, you're from Wisconsin, right? Yeah. Well, I'm a dedicated surfer here in Malibu or San Diego. What about those guys from Sheboygan? You know, they're fascinating. And when I realized that the international surfing world was fascinated with the exploits and accomplishments of Lee and Larry and the entire Sheboygan surfing scene, that's when I realized there was a story there that was more interesting and would fascinate people beyond, you know, just a core handful of people who have a direct association with the Great Lakes.
Yeah, you know, I've never done any surfing myself, but your book certainly caught my interest and maintained it right through to the end. Just finished reading it, as a matter of fact. And Lee and Larry Williams had to have been very forthcoming with you. You had to have spent a lot of time with them.
Yeah, it was interesting how it kind of all came about, where I had the itch to write the book, and, you know, and at first I wanted to do a documentary on them, you know, bring some cameras, you know, film them surfing, kind of get their stories. But then we all met, me, Lee, and Larry met, you know, 2.5 years ago at the Highland House in Sheboygan over a couple of beers. And, you know, I said, hey, my name's Bill. I'd love to do a film on you guys. And we, you know, sat for a couple hours and we kept exchanging stories and ideas. And by the end of the conversation, we all agreed that we should do a book because that was the best way to capture their stories. Because, you know, a lot of their great stories have already happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just a really enjoyable flow of ideas. And, you know, like I said, by the end of the conversation, we essentially had the book outlined on a beer napkin, on a bar napkin. And, you know, it was, you know, from the minute I sat down with them, we shook hands. About 3 minutes into the conversation, we knew this was going to work because everybody sitting at the table trusted everybody with the story. Because, you know, Lee and Larry were very protective of their story. And they didn't want it to be exploited, and they didn't want it to be a situation where people were laughing at them or they were being made fun of. And, you know, the fact that I bleed green and gold on Sundays during football season and, you know, red and white on Saturdays when the Badgers play. And, you know, I'm a Wisconsinite. I'm a proud cheesehead. And, you know, that created a real immediate bond of trust that when we finally sat down and started telling when they started telling me their stories, the stories just kind of flowed. And I let them tell their stories, and I would sit down a tape recorder and just kind of let them babble. Let them tell their stories, go off on their tangents, you know, bring them back to, you know, some of the other stories. And then I took all of their stories and got them transcribed and then started putting them on note cards and putting together the timeline that is Lee and Larry Williams that, you know, essentially became chronicled in the book.
Yeah, and you're pretty much, it's pretty much their whole life, warts and all, I might add.
Yes. Yes. You know, what's fascinating is, you know, the novelty of freshwater surfing, and I call it a novelty because a lot of people don't do it, and it's so unique, and that, you know, a 200-page book cannot be sustained just on the exploits of surfing.
No.
I've always considered the surfing to kind of be the hook, because you read the back, you know, the back of the book, and you say, wow, these guys are crazy. They're surfing in, you know, freezing waters, and you know, they've brought this Southern California or Hawaiian surfing mentality to, you know, the heart of the Midwest. But when it's all said and done, as much as the book is about surfing, it's more importantly about brotherhood and the brotherhood between Lee and Larry Williams, who are fraternal twin brothers. And throughout their whole lives, you know, through the ups and the downs, like you say, from the heroics to the warts, you know, they've always had each other and they've always had this surfing connection with one another that, yeah. You know, that's really the heart of the book.
It really, really is. And that's really what got me hooked on it. And I was kind of expecting something a little different, something like what you were talking about to begin with, you know, the mostly surfing exploits and so forth. But really what hooked me was just their life story. So interesting.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. Well, we've got people who have been waiting a long time to visit with you, so I want to go to we got Jessica and Camille here. Let's go to Jessica in the UP. Hi, Jessica.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call, and I'm actually traveling through Wisconsin right now, enjoying your program here very much, and I look so forward to reading Bill's book. I'm from Marquette, Michigan, and we actually I surf. I just actually was in the lake on Monday. I was very lucky to grow up with a dad who's from Muskegon, Michigan, and grew up surfing on that side of the lake, almost across from Sheboygan.
Right.
So depending on what way the storm and the winds are blowing, it was the opposite surfs up situation. I was actually in my dad's Dewey Weber on Monday, but we have our own boards up there. And so, Bill, I would love for you to come up and visit us in Marquette. And the next book for you to write will be on stand-up paddling. That's become the new passion that some of us have found up north.
Yep.
There's a shop there called Casualties, and they're selling these paddlers, which I just recently got. And what's so great, and I'm a lover of all things Midwest. Again, I'm very lucky for my job. I get to travel to Duluth and to Sheboygan area and then back up home. And the inland lakes, and whether it's calm rivers or the Great Lakes in general, are such a great now spot for these stand-up paddlers that really became so popular in Hawaii and out west. That's this newer sort of sport for us that's taking off, but of course the surfing too. We're so lucky that we can be snowboarding on the same day as surfing in the winter. I mean, where else can you do that? It's so wonderful. Yeah. I can't wait to read your book, Bill.
Well, thank you. And are you coming to the Dairyland Surf Classic over Labor Day weekend in Sheboygan? Because they'd love to have some stand-up paddlers there.
Yeah, that's what we've definitely. The other thing I'll say is we are lucky to be friends with people that were friends with Vince Dewar, who also documented the Dairyland Classic in his movie Unsalted, which if that's something people are interested, it's a great movie that talks about all of the Great Lakes and the surfing being done there. So he plugs that Dairyland Classic, and we have yet to make it down just due to Labor Day things, but we are very much trying to this year, so thanks.
Great. Vince Dewar is a friend of the book. You know, I chatted with him quite a bit.
And actually, the Dairyland Classic, if I'm doing my math right, it's its 30th year, isn't it?
No, it started in 1998, so what is that? Makes it the 22nd year, I believe.
22nd year. Where did I get 30? Well, I don't know where I got 30. It's 22nd.
Sorry,
anyway.
I'm not good with numbers either.
Jessica, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Camille in Frankfort, Michigan, on board next with a comment maybe about Unsalted as well. Hi, Camille.
Hi. Jessica and I are kind of on the same wavelength there. The film Unsalted is about this group who goes up to Lake Superior in November when the waves are pretty good and icy. And it is just fantastic. It chronicles, you know, the hazards and the joys of surfing fresh water. And I have a question about that. I lived on the Pacific Ocean coast and here now in Lake Michigan and Lake Superior, too. And I have observed the waters a lot. I can't surf because of back injuries, but, you know, in another incarnation, I'll go for it. My question is it a lot harder? It looks like it would be a lot harder to surf fresh water, partly because there isn't the buoyancy of the salt and because the wave action seems a lot faster, one wave after the other. Could you comment about that?
You are absolutely correct, Camille. You know, the buoyancy of the water, because you don't have the salt in the Great Lakes, you know, it makes it harder to float and to, you know, stand up on your board. And then also the sets themselves where I don't have the specific statistics in front of me, but, you know, in, you know, like the Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, the time in between waves is shorter on the Great Lakes. So you are absolutely correct, which makes Great Lakes surfing on some level a lot more challenging when you compare, you know, waves to waves.
There you have it. Thank you, Camille. You were right out, dead on there.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Our guest today, Bill Pavletich, who is the author of the book Some Like It Cold, A Sheboygan Surfing Safari. Hope you'll join in with your questions or comments or maybe your experiences on the Great Lakes and Lake Michigan surfing, or maybe just have a question about it. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Back with our guest, Bill Pavletich, who is the author of Some Like It Cold, A Sheboygan Surfing Safari. Great to have him along. Again, you can join us at 800-642-1234. Let's turn to Jesse in Madison next. Jesse, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to thank Bill personally for taking the time to write this book, meeting with Lee and Larry. They're actually real good friends of mine and my family. Our family band, the Mad Polecats, have actually been involved with the Dairyland Surf Classic the last few years. We've played the surf banquet at the end of the day after they have their races on the beach there. And we've always, you know, donated whatever, you know, we take from passing the hat to a group out of California called Surfers Healing. that it's just a bunch of surfers that get together and donate their time to help children and their families affected by autism. And there's just, you know, Lee and Larry have been so supportive in helping us, and they have such a great event. And the world really has turned its attention towards this Great Lakes surfing scene. In fact, my company, Walk on Water Surfboards, we built hollow wood surfboards here in Wisconsin off of an original Tom Blake design. We were recently up in Duluth for the Surfrider Foundation Minnesota chapter's first International Surfing Day. And we did a beach cleanup, and there's a lot of people beginning to get involved and take notice of Great Lakes surfing, especially stand-up paddling, and donating their time to clean up the beaches and take notice of this great source of fresh water. So I just wanted to give a call in and say thank you very much for writing this book.
Wow. Oh, thank you, Jesse, my fellow Facebook friend. one thing, Larry, I want to mention is that, you know, even though the book theoretically focuses on Lee and Larry and their story, and that's the theme and the story arc that threads the whole story together, the book itself really celebrates the Midwest and the Great Lakes region and the entire, you know, Great Lakes surfing culture.
Yes.
Because one thing that makes the Dairyland Surf Classic so unique is that it's held every Labor Day weekend in Sheboygan, right there on the sand, and it's essentially what they call the Gathering of the Tribes. Because when Lee and Larry first started surfing in the mid-60s, and that first generation of surfers ahead of Lee and Larry, the Andy Summersbergers and the Tom Zieglers and those guys, when they were surfing in the early to mid-60s, they didn't know anybody else was surfing on the Great Lakes. They just grabbed boards because it was the rebellious thing to do, you know, with, you know, the surf movies that were out at the time and Gidget and all of that. So they were doing it to be rebellious, and they had no idea no one else was doing it. And as the years went by, then they realized there was a group in Duluth, there was a group in Chicago, there were some surfers in Cleveland, you know, a pretty strong contingent in Grand Haven, Michigan, and also out in Wildwood, Ontario. And so now the Surf Classic every year brings together all of these surfers and all of these various interests that are attached to this lifestyle. And, you know, these people, you know, who are attached to the Great Lakes surfing scene do a lot more, like Jesse's Foundation, you know, to help out autism. And, you know, there's a lot of positive aspects of this surfing culture that has made it more than just a bunch of guys getting on surfboards.
Yeah, it sure has. Jesse, thank you again very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And frankly, that classic has brought people surfers from as far away as Hawaii.
Yes, Hawaii, Australia, Canada. I mean, it's an international event.
It's great. Let's go back a bit. These guys, Lee and Larry, they sort of got hooked into it by that group that you were talking about when they were just young kids.
Yes. They were Lee and Larry, you know, when they were essentially in junior high, they really began to idolize this group of high schoolers who, you know, had embraced the surfing culture as a way to rebel against the system. Because when you're thinking mid-60s, you know, you're thinking the Vietnam conflict is brewing. You know, you had two sides. You had the Vietnam conflict brewing, so you were either part of the old guard or you were part of, you know, the rebellious, you know, hippie movement. And you know, Lee and Larry, before they could even, you know, understand what direction their lives were taking them, were attracted to these high school kids who were, you know, pretty much during the summers living out of a garage and, you know, just hanging out, a bunch of guys, high school kids hanging out, and they chose surfing to kind of be their voice.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. And maybe you can talk about how I thought it was interesting how the Dairyland Surf Classic got started.
Yeah, what's interesting is as Lee and Larry got older, when Lee and Larry kind of became the high school age, they, you know, along with some of their fellow friends who got interested in surfing when they were in junior high, they all hung out together. And then when that generation graduated from high school, a lot of them, you know, went off school, got jobs, got married, but Lee and Larry always continued to surf, and they stayed connected with the surfing community. So, you know, fast forward now to the mid-'80s, Lee and Larry are traveling to various surfing events along the Great Lakes, and that was during the day when, you know, word of mouth was spread by telephone calls or letters or postcards, just before cell phones, before email, before website postings. So it was a real dedicated group that, you know, kept everyone informed of all of these events. And Lee and Larry were over in Grand Haven, Michigan for one of their annual surfing events, and they were approached by one of the organizers, Oscar Wolfbrand, to, you know, the guy, Oscar pretty much said, hey, you know what, guys, we don't do anything on the west coast of Lake Michigan. Why don't you guys host an event? And, you know, Lee and Larry said, you know what? That sounds like a great idea. Let's do Labor Day weekend, because that kind of kicks off the Great Lakes surfing season, because the ideal surfing conditions on the Great Lakes are during the winter, you know, pretty much October, November through, you know, I'd say March-ish. Mm-hmm. And so they decided to do this, you know, Dairyland Surf Classic starting in 1988. And it originally started out as like a dozen guys just needing an excuse to hang out together, drink some beers, watch some surf movies, and try and catch some waves. And, you know, through the years, it has evolved now into a full-fledged family-friendly, you know, event where, you know, now, you know, fast forward 20-plus years, these guys all have families, they have kids, their kids are having kids, and, you know, this hey, let's all be rebels back in the mid-60s has now turned into, you know, something that is accepted and promoted by the community of Sheboygan, and is just, it's just a really fun event, because when you're there, I mean, I can't even put it into words, Larry, when you're there, there's nowhere else you want to be. You got your feet in the sand, it's 80 degrees, the water's, you know, clear as glass, granted you can't surf it, but, you know, a bad day at the beach is really hard to beat, you know, when compared to, you know, going to work or something else like that. So, you know, it's just a really fun event.
And it attracts a lot of people.
Yes, yes. You know, over the 3 days, it starts on Saturday and goes through Monday. You know, there's little stands all along Broughton Drive. And, you know, just the foot traffic alone, you know, is you know, just the people watch is great. But, you know, Lee and Larry and some of the fellow sponsors and vendors and stuff all have stands up along the sidewalk there. And then, you know, you walk, you know, you're 100 yards from the sand and you walk right down there and you can jump in the water. And it's just, you know, it really has a fun beach feeling, you know, almost like you could pick it up and move it to San Diego, pick it up, move it to Florida, pick it up, move it to, you know, Santa Cruz or Hawaii. It's a really neat universal beach feeling.
You know, and of course that sort of kicks the season off when it's still pretty decent weather. But you recount in the book some harrowing experiences that these guys have. Talk a little bit about the problems, but perhaps the joys as well of surfing when you've got icebergs to contend with out there.
You know, Lee and Larry like to joke that, you know, one of the advantages of surfing the Great Lakes that you touched upon is that you don't have to worry about shark bites.
Yeah.
That, oh, they don't have sharks. But the downside to that is frostbite is a very large concern because, you know, to surf in these, you know, the ideal weather conditions, you know, it's an Alberta clipper, you know, that one of those situations where, you know, you got the wind whipping, you know, the waves are crashing, and sometimes it's snowing, sometimes it's freezing rain, and, you know, when these guys get up on some waves, they're dodging, you know, icebergs or ice floes. And there's one story in the book which, you know, is pretty entertaining. Lee and Larry are surfing with one of their best friends, Kevin Grohl. Kevin's one of their childhood friends, and Kevin's a good guy. He, you know, he's still one of their best friends and still goes out and surfs with them occasionally. And the three of them were out surfing, and Kevin got his board lodged on the underside of an iceberg. So here they are surfing. Kevin wipes out, and his, you know, surfboard gets stuck under the iceberg. And so, you know, the three of them are pretty much sitting there looking at each other going, what do we do? And, you know, it's a $200-plus surfboard lodged underneath an iceberg. So, you know, here they are in 34-degree water, and, you know, like teenagers who feel invincible, they decided they had to fish it out. And I'll save the conclusion for those who read the book.
Oh, yeah, man, I tell you, it was scary. And there was another time, too, where it was Lee or Larry who got kind of caught out there where the ice started freezing along the shore and making it difficult for him to get out of the water.
Yeah. What was interesting about that story was I could really relate to that and visualize it when he was telling me because, as you know, over the course of the winter, the Lake Michigan waves crash and they essentially build these ice ramps. So if you're standing on the sand looking out at the water, you know, there's like a, say, a 45-degree arc of ice created from, you know, the waves constantly hitting the shoreline. And what had happened was Larry, on New Year's Day, went out with a friend, and they went surfing and surfed for a couple hours, and Larry's friend decided to come in early. And Larry's like, oh, I'll catch one more wave. But over the course of waiting for that one more wave, the entrance, the little break in between some of those ice ramps, as I'll call them, had froze over. So he didn't have an exit strategy, I guess is the best way to phrase it. And, you know, so here he is, you know, starting to be affected by some early stages of hypothermia, and nobody really knew he was out there. You know, he had kissed his wife goodbye in the morning, but, you know, he's essentially behind a wall of ice that unless you were physically looking for him, you wouldn't know where to look. And it was, you know, from what the way Larry described it, one of the scariest moments of his life, because nobody has ever died surfing, you know, on Lake Michigan. You know, of all those Sheboygan surfers, nobody has ever died. And that day, he thought he might have
might
to
be the first. Might be the first one.
Yeah.
Bill Pavletich, excuse me, our guest today, author of Some Like It Cold, a Sheboygan Surfing Safari, talking about surfing Lake Michigan, and Lee and Larry Williams, fraternal twins who really got the Dairyland Surf Classic going in Sheboygan. Join in with your own questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. We'd love to hear from you. There were also, to my mind, there's like a lot of people, we have our high points in our life and our sad points, and those guys certainly had some sad points. Larry's son Tanner, for example, was a tragic accident connected with him, and he was on his way to becoming a great surfer himself.
Yes. You know what I really enjoyed exploring with Lee and Larry's story is, you know, well, let me backtrack. When I first thought about doing, you know, the story of Lee and Larry is a documentary, it was, hey, these are a couple of guys, they like to surf, you know, and the story would begin and end on the sand. And, you know, when I really got into the details of their lives, I realized how rich their lives were. And yeah. When you think about it, everybody's life is very rich. Yeah. You know, you have your highs, you have your lows. And what made Lee and Larry's accomplishments as freshwater surfers, you know, even more prominent is how they've continued to stick with surfing, and it has continued to be their life's passion. They're on their sixth decade of surfing the Great Lakes now.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, through all their highs and lows in lives, all their highs and lows in life, you know, they've always, you know, when it's all said and done, they've always been at each other's side, and they've always had surfing, at, you know, to kind of be their, you know, their personal relief,
right.
You know, their personal happy place. And, you know, so to kind of explore their lives and to chronicle, you know, some of, you know, their tragedies and then also some of their, you know, real high points in life, you know, it was really nice because it just proved how special Lee and Larry are as people.
Yeah. A couple of lives well lived so far. That's for sure. Mike in Greenbush, we'll go to you now. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, Larry. I like your show, Bill. I just went out and ordered your book at Bookheads in Plymouth. So I live in the western part of the county, and I work in Sheboygan. Moved into Sheboygan in the 80s, 1980s, and you know, was driving past on Broughton Drive in November, and there's three or four people out there surfing, and it was a very interesting experience. I had never heard of it, and over the past 20 years, I've had the opportunity to, you know, drive down there numerous times, especially when I think it's, and maybe you can correct me on this, I think it's, is it northeasterly winds they prefer for the longer waves?
Mm-hmm.
Been able to see some pretty big waves out there, and those guys look like they're having a ball.
Oh, yes. Yes, they are. You are correct.
I never had the guts to take it up myself. I do have some friends who surf, so I hear the exploits through them. But is that correct? Is it the northeasterlies?
That sounds correct. Yeah. I mean, because then, you know, like an Alberta Clipper, that's, you know, the direction we'd be coming from. So, yes. And just so you know, Lee and Larry and all of those Sheboygan surfers, they kind of take the attitude. If you're interested, just stand by the shoreline, wave them down, they'll hand you a surfboard and a wetsuit, and they'll send you out, and they'll teach you how to surf. Because there isn't a more generous group of guys than Sheboygan surfers when it comes to introducing their life's passion to new fans. That, you know, like you hear all these stories out on the West Coast about, you know, surfers being territorial or aggro or hostile towards newcomers or, you know, tourists or something. But Lee and Larry have what they call an open water policy. The water is free. Come on in and we'll give you the tools to learn, because there's nothing more exciting than, you know, sharing the experiences with friends.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike, for calling. I appreciate it. I want to give Christopher in Milwaukee a chance to join in, too. Christopher, hi.
How you doing?
Good.
Super duper. Well, I ain't in Milwaukee for a while now. Visited for the past few years. I miss being home, that's for sure. In Lake Michigan, oh my. I've been going down it for a long time. The fellow that wrote the book, he had mentioned that no surfers had died on that beach. I have a little story about that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was down there one of the crap loads of times, pardon my language, very many times. Since I was five, I've been going down there. I've been naked 100 to 100 yards out and find 15-foot swells, sincerely. And knowing where to go, there's various places, especially down in Milwaukee where I'm from, piers that used to go blocks out there. They're just below the surface now from erosion, and some places where they put street waste. And there's steel rebar just under the surface. You come across a bad time real quick. I was down there, and there was two surfers from there and so on, and I gave them a little bit of, you know, an advice, you know, try not to make it as advice. Maybe they're from there. You know, down the beach, just about a mile. Yeah, you could surf in there, but here I told them about the piers and so on, and they shrugged me off. But like 3 days later on the news, I had heard that two surfers died down there.
Wow. Well, it's certainly possible, Bill.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know Lee and Larry take a lot of pride that the Sheboygan surfing group, you know, like the actual surfers, you know, nobody has died. I know that, you know, they've had some drownings in Sheboygan with, you know, kids wandering out into the water, but it's not surfers, I guess.
Best way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lori,
so,
yeah.
You know, one thing, you know, that, you know, anybody who understands Lake Michigan, and this is the surfers or, you know, any maritime experts, is Lake Michigan is a very dangerous place. And if you don't respect the water, it will, it will be your doom. Yeah. And, you know, you can never stress that enough. And even when, you know, people who are accomplished swimmers, you know, get involved in the waters, you know, between the rip currents and, you know, the undertows, it can be a very perilous place.
Yep, you're absolutely right. Thank you, Christopher. Lori and Krivitz, your turn. Hi, Lori.
Hello. I'm down in Chicago part-time, and I noticed that just this year they started up the paddle boarding down there along one of the beaches.
Yeah.
And I also noticed kite surfing in certain areas, which is like crazy fun. Of course, I am a little bit too old and not the best balance for something like that, but it looks like a lot of fun. And now moving back to the area up here, I've noticed maybe because I want a kayak so bad that more people have kayaks. So I'm hoping that maybe because of the economy or whatever, I'm not seeing as many boats and I'm seeing more kayaks, that maybe this sort of thing is finally taking off and will be more popular because people can't afford those $10,000 boats and more, that it's more this quiet sports and the fun where you get the exercise and the fresh air. And
mm-hmm. Well, Bill, a comment from you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, what's really interesting is, you know, like to speak specifically on, you know, the Great Lakes surfing scene, is more and more people are getting turned, you know, more and more people are becoming aware of it and getting turned on to it, because it's one of those activities where you physically have your feet in the water, where you're it's healthy, it's good exercise. I mean, you ask anybody who surfs or even tries to surf, the upper body workout that you get from paddling, you know, back and forth,
right,
from, to and from shore, you know, is second to none. So I think it's, you know, all of these sports, you know, like Lori said about, you know, the kayaking and the kite surfing and, you know, there's skimboarding and even body surfing. All of these activities that are happening in the water are, you know, becoming more popular because people, you know, there's this movement towards getting more involved and more in touch with these activities where, you know, as relaxing as sitting on a boat and, you know, trolling along the lakeshore is, you know, the idea that you get in and you're physically active doing something is what is making all of these sports, and in particular, Great Lakes freshwater surfing, really popular.
Yeah, thanks, Lori. And Bill, thank you so much. I would really enjoy it. Yeah, I really enjoyed reading your book, and good luck with it.
Well, thank you very much, Larry, for if I can just plug real quick.
Sure, go right ahead.
If anybody's interested in learning more about the book or seeing some photos that are featured in the book or reading an excerpt from the book, the official website is somelikeitcold.net. The book is also available in bookstores all over Wisconsin, and I know in the metro Milwaukee area, specifically at Next Chapter Books and Mequon and Boswell Books. They're on the east side of Milwaukee, and, you know, Amazon.com. You can, you know, the book is readily available. Clearcy Press, the publisher, they're a boutique publisher out of Ohio. They have really made a concerted effort to make the book available in Wisconsin and on the internet. It's accessible. So if anybody has enjoyed today's conversation, I would encourage them to pick up a copy of the book and go on the ride of a lifetime.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you, Larry.
Yeah, thanks so much. Again, that website address is somelikeitcold.net. Somelikeitcold.net. Bill Pavletich, native Wisconsinite, author of this book, Some Like It Cold, A Sheboygan Surfing Safari. And it was, I tell you what, it was a lot of fun reading the book. I enjoyed it, and I really enjoyed the sort of history, reading the history of Lee and Larry Williams, and also learning a lot more about freshwater surfing. Well, coming up, we're going to change directions with you a bit and talk about consumer protection issues. We've got some things going on in the state, as we often do, that are designed to scam you or scam me out of some money. And we'll talk about it with Janet Jenkins of the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Next year on the Ideas Network.